Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals. They did drop their series over the weekend to the Rangers. Daniel Lynch, though, makes his 2024 debut. Did not allow a run. Five scoreless innings, had a couple strikeouts as well. They are back at it tonight against Milwaukee. Cole Reagan's on the mound, but first pitch has been moved up. So if you have tickets to tonight's game, you're planning on heading out to Kauffman Stadium. It's been moved up to 6:10 tonight. That's due to the expected severe weather later on this evening in the Kansas City area. They want to make sure they can get this game in, and moving it up to 6:10 should ensure them doing that. You, of course, can hear the game on 6:10 Sports Radio as well. That means now Vern's On Deck show going to start at 5 o'clock.
I'm seeing even still more people talking about, like, hey, I want to watch the Royals. They're good. They're exciting. Like when I was tweeting out about, like, Salvador Perez's home run on Friday. As a reminder, look, maybe you can't watch it because you don't want to pay Bally. Okay. Always free right here on 610 Sports Radio. You can at least hear the Royals and hear the excitement from the Royals every single time. I know that different consumption types, but you're welcome to listen to them if you don't want to pay for the visual of at least on that end. Next up on Watch Trending, Kyle Larson wins the AdventHealth 400 at Kansas Speedway in the closest ever cup finish. It was 0.0001 tenth of a second, whatever the hell that is. For the actual, if you see it on the photo, I can't even tell. That's the same. They're right next to each other. I can't tell one way or the other.
Drew, you
the
were there.
Incredible finish. Drew was there.
I was there. I was, from my vantage point, I was convinced Chris Buescher actually won.
I don't know how you could tell from the from
buzz
the photo
that was there, because both of them came to the start finish line and were waiting to hear what happened. And then, I mean, that would
one
suck.
Guy's got to lower his head and the other guy gets to spin, you know, do a bunch of donuts.
Yep.
Damn.
Thinking of photo finishes, the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. That also had a photo finish. A little bit easier to tell, actually.
Yeah.
Which horse went across the finish line? Mystic Dan wins the 2024 Kentucky Derby. That was the 150th Kentucky Derby. Three-horse finish. So Sierra Leone is who that Mystic Dan edged out. Also, Forever Young. Forever Young finished in third. Dang
had
it.
A chance.
Yeah, had a chance. But the Kentucky
not undefeated
Derby,
anymore.
No, that's right. The horse is not undefeated anymore. But locally, you had Travis Kelce was at the Derby. Creed Humphrey was at the Derby. I saw Isaiah Pacheco there was at the Derby. So you had a lot going on. And of course, when you're Super Bowl champs, you get to continue to go to a lot of cool events. And they all had some special entrances, including a police escort for Travis Kelce. He had plenty of people around him.
Looked like a Roger Rabbit villain.
Oh, his outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he made his way down to Miami for F1.
Well, when you're super rich and
hop
very
on a
famous,
private jet.
I think Taylor's took him. There was a whole thing about like how she had a dock somewhere and then like took it there. Is he going to join her in Paris for the Euros Tour? Who
it's
knows?
It's coming up. Man, like, isn't that in a week or something like that?
Yeah, we'll find out. Next up on Watch Trending, MVS reportedly visiting the Chargers today. As we reported earlier, he's coming off his worst season as an NFL pro with less than 400 total yards. This is like the fifth wide receiver that the Chargers have brought in. Their unit right now is pretty weak. Their current plan appears to be What if we had five guys who all caught 450 yards on offense? Chiefs tried that last year. It was an interesting approach going into it. Eventually needed somebody to step up. We'll see, but MVS at least looking to change teams in the AFC West.
And one other NFL note, veteran running back Rashad Penny, according to Adam Schefter, signing with the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, remember, he's a former first-round pick out of San Diego State. Spent most of his career with Seattle.
He was a first-round pick?
Yeah, he's now part of a backfield with Jonathan Brooks, who was the second-round rookie out of Texas. Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders. That's the backfield there in Carolina. So the rookie should be the starter, but maybe Rashad Penny has a chance to work in as a backup there with the Panthers, who, of course, have a long ways to go offensively.
He had one decent year for Seattle.
They've had Seattle more than any other team. I feel like the Seahawks have had a running back have, you know, like six-game spurts of just being effective and then injuries. You know, like Kenneth Walker, very talented, but they feel like it hasn't – not just Rashad Penny. I feel like they've had – multiple backs over the last 3 or 4 years that, like, you know what? I'm thinking even fantasy football-wise, where for a 4 or 5 week stretch, they actually were really good.
DJ Dallas.
Yeah, that's
Zach
another
Charbonnet.
One.
Charbonnet.
Yeah, Charbonnet. Everybody likes Charbonnet because the name was great.
In, yeah, he stepped in with Walker was out. Yeah.
Is Charbonnet still in Seattle?
Probably.
I think so.
I mean, he just got drafted last year, I think.
It's Kenneth UCLA Walker and then it's Charbonnet, yeah, I guess.
Extra bonus random question. I've got one coming up in about 30 minutes. Mm. But we received an email, and I'm curious if you would take this ride. According to our email, says, hey, the company who handles the elevator stuff will be looking at the elevator on the music side, not the one we take.
Yeah, we just don't even take the elevator.
It said he ordered a part and will be back to fix it when it comes in. It says no longer than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then the email says, he assures me it is safe. It just sounds rough. If you're not comfortable using it, please use the front elevator. I'll just be honest. You can tell me it's safe all it's one. If the elevator sounds like it's grinding a bunch of mechanical pieces together, I'm not getting on it anymore. Are you riding an elevator that sounds rough?
No, but also we don't really take the elevator here at work. We go up two, it's two flights. Yeah. Well, I guess more than two if you consider the main entrance. Three flights. Or I guess, three flights maybe.
One and a half,
yeah, whatever.
The first one feels like...
Yeah. Either way, don't need to really take the elevator anyway, so I don't really... This doesn't faze most of us, I don't think, in the building. But yes, it is funny to see an email. It's like, needs a part, but still going to work fine. It's safe.
It just sounds terrible.
The fact that they have to explain or say, it's still safe if you want to use it. And that's
maybe it's just a noise thing. You know, like, you know, a little WD-40 needs to be sprayed on there for a little bit.
Someone says it's a 5-story building. You're not falling 60 stories. So they're saying the height. Like if you had,
sure.
If it sounded rough, but you had to go up 20 flights.
I'm out. You can survive a 3-story fall in the elevator. Now you're at a downtown Kansas City at 1KC place or whatever. I'm not taking the elevator if it's busted.
So because of the side of the building I park on, the one that we have been explicitly told not to park on.
Cody is still the only person in the entire building that parks on the side of the
this
building.
This time of day, yes. There's a few other afternoon people who park over there.
There's also some people that intentionally take up 5 spots when they park.
That's a whole different issue.
I don't know why that happens.
But because of the side of the building I park on, I do take this back elevator. So, and every once in a while, the door won't close right. And it'll just like jump, and then the doors close, and it goes fine. And I guess I keep taking it that day. You can't take the stairs on that side. The door's locked. When you come up this side.
Maybe that's why they tell you to go on the other entrance. Maybe that's why, you know, they sent that email.
So I take the stairs out, as you know, because you can take the stairs down and out the building, and they're not locked. But from the outside, so on the way in, I have to take the elevator because the stairs aren't there. Look, man, I worked here once before I worked here this most recent time when I started being the Royals Insider, and then we did the show. And at that time, that's where I parked. And I was kind of used to it. And that's where I kept parking. Now it would feel weird to park in the front. I don't want to park in the front now. And I got cameras on us. I don't know. Someone says, knowing how long the vending took, this elevator is going to be out of service for 3 months. Bigger problem right now is the vending guy stopped stocking the machine. Or the level of stocking he's doing is poor.
Yeah, the little company kitchen area.
They've given up. They've stopped trying today, out there.
Oh, is it? The company kitchen got a little bare.
A little better?
No, still, to your point, Cody, all of last week, it was bare. All of last week.
And it looks like he came in and did a restock, but a half-assed one, if I'm being honest. I don't know the name of the company. So it's a kind of a poor effort.
Hang on, I wonder if it's because they had to do the order. You know, they come in, they see what was gone. But I would have thought they could track that, right? When you buy stuff, they should be able to see that 5 red Gatorades were purchased.
Or just there's a bunch of different stuff in the back of the truck. You pull it up and stock it.
So you're saying if you're if we're leaving after the show is done, you see this guy, you're going to be the George Costanza that goes up and says, hey,
man, what's the problem?
Just a second.
You know what I think is happening? I'm going to be honest. My current working theory is he has some stuff that is getting closer to expiration, and he wants you to buy that instead. Because, so, like, I drink Coke Zero sometimes during the show. I'm currently drinking tea, but I drink Coke Zero during the show. He hasn't had Coke Zero there in a week and a half. The only diet drink he seems to have in there is Diet Mountain Dew. Yeah. And it's the only one he restocked from last week. No more Coke Zero, no more Diet Dr. Pepper. He's not interested in putting the diet sodas in there, except Diet Mountain Dew. I think the concession guy is trying to burn through his stock of Diet Mountain Dew before he gives us the preferred diet soda option.
That's quite the theory.
That's just
this is a real theory.
That's just a bad job of doing their job. Like, I'll be honest, because maybe it's evident that not everybody wants.
He thinks if you want it, you're desperate enough. You know, he thinks if you're desperate enough, you'll buy it.
I bet you we get a restock here in a day or two.
I think chips wise, it's good again. I don't know.
Yeah,
it
took him a couple of weeks, but he's back on the chips.
As long as the sour.
You know, sour bite crawlers or whatever are still there. Then
the gummy worms?
They were good. Those are the go-to. Someone says, I notice Alex is drinking a Crisp Propel. I know we're stocked up. They don't have...
That's an outside purchase.
They do not have Propel ever, even when everything's fully stocked with this. We didn't even have water initially. I asked for water. Now we have water, at least, in the video.
Asked for water.
Remember? I asked for that's why we have the bottles of the smart water.
I'd officially like to form a petition for this company. I'd like us to. Will you guys go with me if I send an email? Boss, say we'd like this concession company out. We're gonna be.
No, we don't. There's nothing wrong with the company.
I will go to Costco and I will be this company's concession. We'll have reasonable prices.
Are we sure?
You're gonna have to Venmo me. I don't have access to a POS system.
Anytime we go to
cash or Venmo,
Venmo.
Cash or Venmo.
Cody's just gonna have a QR code for his own Venmo up on the thing. Cody, you're gonna be spending an hour after the show every day rotating stock.
It's fine, FIFO. I'll honor your request. You want some Propel in there, Gold?
Yeah. What we need
I'll
to
get
do
you some Propel.
We need to have during the break. Let's go check the dates of the items and see if your expiration date theory is true.
Because there
might
a great
be
point.
Might be some truth to that.
I'll go check in the break.
So we'll do that in the next segment. We'll report back and see how that's going. Let's talk a little Royals baseball, though, because, yes, they dropped 2 of 3 to the Rangers over the weekend. They're back at it tonight against the Brewers in the game getting moved up about a half hour due to weather in the area. And Bobby Witt Jr. still continues to be one of the favorites to win the American League MVP. And it's not because the power numbers are huge. He only has 4 home runs. He hasn't homered since April 11th.
Extra base hits
He's got 5 triples, 10 doubles at this point. He's got 11 stolen bases. He's lasering the baseball all over the diamond, all over the ballpark, just not going over the fence yet. And as long as he is hitting at the level he's hitting right now, I do think we're going to be sitting here throughout the summer and he's going to be in that MVP conversation. I don't know necessarily if I would be picking him to win it this year. I think, you know, there's some other candidates like Juan Soto, for example, that might have something to say about that.
And Shohei Ohtani's
he's going to need the power numbers to pick up. But in particular, what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing, knowing that you're not looking at the final year in Kansas City or final 2 years in Kansas City, I think allows you to enjoy it better because of the contract that he signed.
So, yeah, that's it. If they didn't sign the contract, you know how he'd be feeling about the summer? Like, okay. Another Carlos Beltran situation. Enjoy it while it lasts, fellas. Because we would all just be sitting here having these conversations, be like, oh my God, what are they going to do? What are they going to do when Bobby Wood Jr. leaves? Should they just trade him? Should they just trade Bobby Wood Jr. since they can't pay him? Those are the conversations we were going to get stuck with if they didn't get the deal done this early. Because if they didn't get it done this early, do you know how much harder it would have been to sign Bobby Wood Jr. at the end of this year? I know you said the home run numbers aren't there. He's second in Major League Baseball in extra base hits. He's first in the American League. The only player in all of baseball has more extra base hits than Bobby Witt Jr. is Shohei Ohtani. That's it. It's the only player in baseball who has done that more often. And Shohei doesn't have his stolen bases or his, playing shortstop ability. Because that is something to note sometimes when we talk about the extra base hits for Bobby Witt Jr. It is rare to get a lot of extra base hits from people anyway. Like from a big position. It is incredibly rare to get it at shortstop. It's common to get it in right field, man. It's common to get it in left field. It's common to get it at first base and DH. It is not common for your best power-hitting player to be playing shortstop. That's the, A-Rods of the world. That's a rarefied company you start entering when you're Bobby Witt.
Well, they definitely need it, too, because the positions you mention, outside of Vinny playing first base, right now you're not getting a whole lot out of your left field in the lineup, not getting a whole lot of right field, and you're not getting anything from your DH Velasquez right now. That's been a little bit of the problem. The reason why we can view it a little differently is, hey, this team is still five games above 500. They're still getting overall really, really good starting pitching. And when you have Salvador Perez and Bobby Wood Jr. playing at MVP type of levels, that's how you sustain the success they're having. But otherwise, you know, do they have enough offense in that lineup right now? I know you saw there was an MLB trade rumor account or article this morning, I should say, that suggested that from Ken Rosenthal, actually, that the Royals at least did have a preliminary call at one point for Arise, who ended up getting traded to the Padres. So now that doesn't mean they were close to a deal. They called
the article very specifically said that the conversations were very surface level.
But the fact that they even made the call, I'm sure probably makes you feel a little good. That does it tell you that if they're at least making a call, and I know every team's trying to better their roster all year, but you're making a call and it's May 5th, May 6th. Maybe that points in a positive direction that like they recognize that this is a season that they have an opportunity maybe to take the next step even more so than they thought. I think you got to be really careful about being too aggressive. I know fans, there's not a single fan base in any sport come a trade deadline when their team's either above 500 or right around it that's not going to want you to go and be aggressive.
Of course.
But what we're so far away from right now, nobody can definitively tell you, I think it's a mistake if you're like, nope, they need to be ultra aggressive. It's May 6th. It's way too early for you to say, oh, you got to go and do it. You're in it. There's so many teams that think they're in it right now that you can't even trade with anybody. I mean, the Marlins did it because they're a joke of a franchise that is their owner is willing to go ahead and sell off. But like, other than the Marlins and White Sox, what, 95% of the league still thinks they're in it. So it's you can't just make trades to make trades. Other teams have to actually want to make the trade.
If the Royals keep this up, we're going to find out just how deep John Sherman's pockets are. Mm-hmm. And look, he has already spent more than any other owner in Royals history at this point. They spent a ton of money on free agents this previous year and spent a bunch of money on Bobby Witt Jr. to remain. But to your point, let's see. Every team but three are within 7.5 games of first place of the playoffs. Not just a playoff spot. Just first place of the playoffs. Out of playoff spot, let's see, seven. So all but three teams are within 3 games of a playoff spot in all of the American League. So, like, literally everybody. Yeah. And the three who aren't, one of those teams actually thinks they're still in it. Two don't, but the Astros, who are 5 games back of a playoff spot, they don't think they're done.
Of course,
they've won too much to think they're done. The Angels and the White Sox think they're cooked, and they know they're cooked. Everyone else thinks they've got a chance this year and are firmly in the mix, partially because they're not wrong. There aren't that many teams. Every team except for like 5 are above 500 in the American League. Two of those teams are 1 game below 500 in the Rays and the A's, who are, you know, right there. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to be alone in this. But also, because of what John Sherman had said, when he was being asked about the stadium stuff and when he bought the team and all this stuff and a couple of off, maybe it was an offseason or 2 off seasons ago that you had pointed out, I think is really good, which is, I'd love to know what it feels like to be a World Series team. I'd love to know what a playoff team looks like.
Right. Yeah. A
wild card team. He wasn't even being like, oh, I wish I knew what a World Series caliber team is like. I'd like to know what the playoffs are. That's what kind of makes me feel like if the time comes and they got to buy a little bit, they might be a buyer, because Sherman probably does want to feel like what's a damn playoff game like? Not just getting into the playoffs. That's what the whole Rays model is. Take more bites at the apple and give yourself a chance. It hasn't paid off for them, but they played in a World Series. They made it to a Game 7. They were, you know, came down to it. They were right there. They just didn't get it done. But they are consistently competitive and play playoff games in Tampa Bay. I'd like that in Kansas City for now.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk more Royals baseball. They got a debut, at least for this season, in the majors from Daniel Lynch and what he looked like, and maybe what that tells us what the next weeks and months ahead could mean for the rotation. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Over the weekend, we mentioned how busy it was, right? You had the Royals going on. You had the Kansas Speedway, had the race out there, NASCAR race. You had the Kentucky Derby. You have NBA and NHL postseason going on, the KC Current. There's plenty of stuff going on. Also, WNBA, I'll be honest, completely forgot that was going on this weekend.
Their seasons happened so damn quick. It's like weird, because you're like, wait, didn't college basketball just end for the women's team? Now they're already playing preseason games?
Yeah, it's crazy.
They run their schedule different, obviously, and because of that, it's all like, you know, like if you finish your season as a college player for the men's league, you're not even drafted yet.
Right.
You're not going to be on a team till next year's team. Although I guess technically based on the schedule, could you imagine if they did it this way? And if you were like one of these playoff teams, you could technically add a draft pick from college basketball.
That
right
would
now.
Be wild.
Dude, that'd
that
be fun
be,
as
that
hell.
That would be wild.
That would be fun. They should do that.
Yeah, I don't know about this year's draft class. I don't know if anybody's making the lineup. You know, this year's NBA draft class stinks. But in prior years, yeah, if Zion or somebody was coming in immediately.
Like Zion, like because the team's picking first, likely not going to make the postseason even that. But like, imagine if all of a sudden, if you just got the right pick at 20 and you got the pick right and they were just on your roster. The point is, good for, like, if we had asked the question, and we had asked the question, can Caitlin Clark do for the WNBA that she did for college basketball? The initial signs are good. They sold out an NBA preseason game.
Well, the ticket sales, we've known for a couple weeks that was for the WNBA. They already raised prices for any game involving Caitlin Clark. So the ticket part of it was already happening,
they
right?
They've moved venues for Caitlin Clark.
They have changed venues with larger capacities. So that, I mean, the ticket part, I think we knew was happening. The question to me will still be after the initial debut game, regular season, where the ratings, I'm sure, will be decent, what happens as the season goes on for WNBA games? Because the WNBA also has to get their you-know-what together, because what I did see over the weekend wasn't necessarily, I forgot about the Caitlin Clark debut, but I did see that one of the games on their WNBA like version of League Pass or whatever, they couldn't stream the game. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, if you, this is your one opportunity, seize the moment, WNBA.
People want to watch your sport. Yeah.
There was individual that actually just live-streamed the game from their phone, guys in the stands, that had like 400,000 viewers. So,
there was an appetite.
The positive thing is they had 400,000 viewers. The negative is that your product wasn't, and you know, not accessible for fans. That has to be cleared up if you wanted to go. But the ratings, not the initial game for Caitlin Clark. I want to see throughout the summer, do they have sustained ratings? That'll tell us, I think, Cody, if it's going to carry over more than the one game particularly happening. But the ticket sales have been very good.
One other thing they have to do, by the way, is stop getting these veteran players on trashing Caitlin Clark. Like, she's going to get her wake-up call. It's a good thing that people want to watch your sport. You don't have to drag her down because you think she gets too much attention, Diana Taurasi. Just accept the fact that she is a great player who's good for your sport and good for the attendance and good for the ratings and good for the league. Like, there's just, and it's not just her. This seems to be a thing in the women's game right now where the bigger plan is we're going to show you Caitlin Clark. Why? What's the point of that? Just accept that she's good for your sport and lean in rather than try to, I don't know, like, be critical that she's getting all this attention.
I actually still think this
think
is good for the
wake-up call.
I still think it's actually good for the sport.
Drama's
is it
good?
Normal drama and the controversy and the debates? That's what we do in every other popular sport. So why wouldn't it happen in the WNBA? I mean, to me, that actually is a sign that the sport is growing, the league is growing. That
then it's a normal thing?
Yeah, it's what we, I mean.
I do love the drama of the NBA. I'm not going to lie to you.
That kind of stuff happens. But
I hope Caitlin Clark drops 40 on Diana Taurasi in a regular season game this year.
That'd be funny. That would be funny. It'd be entertaining. That's for sure. All right, guys. Coming up next, we'll get back to the Royals in particular. I mentioned Daniel Lynch, what he looked like yesterday. What does that say about his role potentially moving forward? And Cody's got a random question of the day next year on Cody Engel.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Random question of the day about 10 minutes away here on Cody and Gold. We'll get back into the Chiefs' first-round pick, Xavier Worthy, in the 1 o'clock hour and what the realistic expectations should be based off of prior history and what some NFL executives had to say about his role in helping the Chiefs do something they haven't been able to do the last couple of years. So that is coming up in just a little bit. But we were mentioning the hitting aspect of the Royals, but on the pitching end, they had a guy yesterday in Daniel Lynch make his 2024 debut, and at one point, it looked like yesterday was going to just be a bullpen game, and then I think, well, Saturday kind of turned into a bullpen game, unfortunately, with the blowout loss to the Rangers. Sure. So Daniel Lynch gets called up. He had a rough first inning, 30-something pitches, gets out of that, provides him five scoreless innings with six strikeouts, ended up having a really nice outing to save the bullpen in what was a game in which he probably feel like the Royals should have won yesterday in a low-scoring 3-2 affair in extra innings. I think there's a decent chance Daniel Lynch is, you know, sent right back down here very soon with Alec Marsh's injury rehab, wrapping up here in the next couple of days. But that gives you some hope that if you need a spot start, right, in the future, compared to what you got from Jonathan Bolin, the prior start, like Daniel Lynch maybe can provide years. That.
Yeah, we're just, yeah, simply previous year. So what it was April 25th that Alec Marsh was hit, therefore put on the injured list, which means he would start 4 days from now. I mean, the timing's about right. Where Alec Marsh should be, seeing how he made a start yesterday in the minor leagues, should be good to go to come back for his next start. Look, I am definitely not saying that they should just give the job to Daniel Lynch. Marsh has done more than a serviceable job.
Oh, he's pitching fine, yeah.
He deserves to keep his spot in the rotation. But the idea that even one person could slightly threaten it is so encouraging. Versus what we'd given. And one of the things that stood out from the broadcast end was Monty and Joel Goldberg were talking about he went back to a grip that used to cause him blisters. And like at first you're like, well, why would you do that? Because it turns out that that's how he was comfortable throwing the pitch. When you try to like do something to like make yourself feel healthier, as in like, I don't want that problem to come up, well, you might not be throwing that pitch with the level of confidence in which you're accustomed to. Figure out a way to not get a blister.
I was going to say,
a bad pitch.
Right. Of course, performance has to be there, but you got to, you know, as long as you don't think that the blisters are going to be a problem. Right now, they're not asking.
I think you got to take that risk. Does that make sense? If you're Daniel Lynch, you got to take performance at the time in which your hand feels good over the risk of the blisters and try to figure out a way to manage that over the course of time. If that's something that comes up with that like spike grip, essentially, they're talking about.
Whenever there's another spot start opportunity, he'll be the guy that gets the nod based off of what he just did yesterday, and you know there will be other opportunities for a spot start. I mean, that's just the nature of how this thing works. There will be somebody else that goes on the IL for a short period of time, or it's performance based. But everything you've seen so far from Alec Marsh, if he picks up right where he left off, and the good news is, well, put him on the IL wasn't like elbow or shoulder-ish. He got hit by a dang line drive in the forearm, you know? Yeah. So you would think he should be able to come right back and hopefully be just as effective as he was. And remember, it's the fifth spot in the rotation. We all know what they got out of that spot last year. So far, what they've been getting from Alec Marsh
has been
Champagne Lyles. And obviously we wish him the best as well. He's away from the team still. But the outing for Daniel Lynch was encouraging. Yesterday was frustrating, but as we said, we're now at the point where you're frustrated after a Sunday afternoon loss. It's been a while since you truly were frustrated. And that speaks to where this team is at. Friday night was incredible. You know, I was at the game Saturday. Unfortunately, I went to the wrong night because Friday night was electric. I mean, watching it on TV was fun. It reminded you of 14 and 15, the energy that the ballpark can have when you have a team that wins. It just so happened it was also Salvador Perez hitting a key home run in the seventh inning on Friday night. Against, remember, this is against a good team. This is against the defending world champs. Yep. This isn't doing it against the White Sox. I know they lost 2 of 3 in the series, but other than Saturday night, I mean, they should have won yesterday, frankly, and they had a blown save, unfortunately. With James McArthur.
That doesn't stop my belief in our guy.
No, tomorrow we're hoping to have some more details on General McArthur and our 9th Infantry.
You think JJ Piccolo would be a part of the 9th Infantry with us if we asked him?
I think he's a fan of his already. I don't know if he needs.
I know, would he commit?
We should ask him if he likes the idea.
Mm, okay,
I mean the team's already calling him the General.
Yeah, they're leaning into it. Why can't we do this? You know, I go back and I think one of the underrated things. I've talked about this on the show before, but like something that people always underestimate about winning teams is when a minor league player has to come up, normally they don't have to come up for 6 months, dude. Like they come up, they have to play a month for you, they have to play 3 weeks, they have to make 2 starts. They're not the hero. They're not trying to save everything. All you're asking them usually to do is, hey, please don't screw this up. Don't go 0 for 15. Don't get blown up in a start. The Royals have had a lot of sacrificial lambs over the years. They'd call them up from the minors. They'd get their teeth kicked in. They'd send them back up the I-35 to Omaha. And you'd just be like, well, sorry, kid. Good luck next time. And Bolden's start was not that level of struggle. But, like, he came in, felt like he did it. For Daniel Lynch to come in or any of these others, that's all we're asking for. I want the Royals minor league system to work as a piece for the major league system for 2 weeks. I don't need them to like solve other problems anymore. They're young enough and talented enough. If I go back to early part of the year, right at the White Sox series, you might remember we had said they had like 17 straight games at that time against teams who were above 500. They've held their own during that time, have they not?
Yeah, they're still 5 games above. I mean, we can talk about going series by series, also just go week by week. They just finished the last week, what, right around 500 or right at 500, I think, last week of games. So that also, when you were already 5-6 games above 500, if you tell me that they're just going to continue playing 500 ball, Cody, the next month and a half, right? They're going to play, if they're even 500 the next month and a half, that still means they're 5 games above 500 in the middle of June. Yeah. We're all signing up for that.
Yes.
And especially where something's got to give one way or the other, though. I still think offensively with the team, like Bobby Wood Jr., I think will continue to play near this level. Salvador Perez, I mean, the level he's playing at is kind of crazy right now. I mean, he's not going to hit 343 all year. So,
you sure?
Who else is going to step up offensively? That's my, like, the biggest concern right now, actually, is not the pitching. It is still going to be the offense of what happens when there's a week and a half lull where Salvi maybe has a bad week, because that's just going to happen across 162. Who's there to step up? And, you know, that's the concern right now. Now, I love so far what you're getting at the play from Michael Massey. That was
great.
He's been much better at the plate.
Streak?
Yeah, he's been much better at the plate. You know, maybe MJ gets going a little bit. I know over the weekend he performed better. I'm sure it was all because of the song. And so we'll see, man.
I'm sure it is all because of the song, you know. Still thinking about that diss track. Drew, you going to make me a beat?
I want Drew to do the diss track. I think Drew is capable of
doing
it.
Who's he going to diss?
I don't know. The way things are going, it could be about anybody. Drew's not happy with our Cincinnati hate towards him recently.
You know what? So. I figured out who my diss track should be about.
Okay.
The vending area.
Yes. No. Yes. After that conversation.
A diss track specifically about the vending.
Cody's going to get he's going to lose us the vending, and we're not going to be vending for a month in this building.
You want to go as far as to get people to sign a petition. When we just got this new company.
Yeah, and we had a month and a half lull of not having one.
Yeah.
No, we can't have that. Can't have that.
You're saying I can't start beef with the vending company?
I don't think you want to do that.
Imagine,
man,
the day, though, that they, you know, respond with their own diss track.
I don't think
that would be
amazing. I don't think
can you imagine?
I don't think the company's going to respond in that way.
And by the way, the text line's pointing it out. I kept saying 35, 29 to Omaha. I got to get my highways right.
Whatever. Yeah.
Got to get my highways right. Then I go to Minneapolis. You know, got to take the proper highway.
It might take a while to get to Omaha on I-35. That's fair. That's fair.
As in, you won't get there.
That's fair.
Well, you got to take a lot of back highways after you take 35 for a while, which you're probably not going to want to do. Yeah.
This is weird, but still, I don't know, coolest, just weirdest thing about baseball. Like, we all know call-ups happen. Guys get optioned all the time, you know, 100 times or whatever in a season for multiple teams. It's still unique to think that, and I know they're minor league, they're not making millions of dollars or whatever. Yeah. But the notion, though, that somebody like has to get up at 4 a.m. and drive, you know, 3 hours in a car
and then go pitch
it's still crazy. Like no other sport, man, no other sport. Like, yeah, I'm living in Omaha, maybe with a host family or something, or just with roommates. And then I get a call at 10:30 at night that I'm pitching for the Royals the next day or any team. And I'm getting in my own car and I'm driving 3.5 hours, maybe in a storm to go to Kansas City.
It's just so weird because, like, at AAA, and this is like the nuance of the sport. In AAA, the salary there is like the minimum salary is like $35,000. So let's just say you're a good player because you're at high AAA and you're getting called up to the majors every once in a while. You're making $50,000 to get called up for a singular game in Major League Baseball based on league minimum. You get paid $5,000 to play
just there, just to be active for a game.
You get 10% of your entire minor league salary. Just beautiful. To be active, just not even play. You could be Colin Selby and sit for a couple of games and then pitch one. And it's $5,000.
Yeah, he might have made like 25 grand, just, and then he spends him back down.
You stay up here for a week. You stay up here for five games, not even a full week. You stay up here for five games. Here's $25,000 coming your way. That ain't bad,
man.
And
if you're on the road, if you're on the road, you get the per diem. So you're not even, you know what I mean? You're not even have to spend money on food, right?
No. Free food. Oh, yeah. Private chef. Whole
plus,
thing.
You get the good clubhouse food, you know?
Private planes, private food. Your own. I mean, it's got to be the worst, though, has got to be like the Edward Olivares path, which might be Lynch's this year, where you're just like.
Oh, his car automatically drove back and forth. He didn't even have to. His car knew where to go.
He needed a Hyperloop that took him to and from. That's just got to be the worst, where you like get the taste of the bigs all the time. And then like the rest of the time, you're like, damn. I'm eating Ritz crackers at the seventh inning here. All this, it's like, it's just got to be tough. That's a tough way to live, but I guess you get used to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. We live stream the show on video every single day. Love to have a few more of you over there, 610 Sports KC. Now, the question I have for you today is, are you open to something I think is maybe a bit controversial, but that I'm trying to leave myself open to as a possibility? I'm going to ask you a first question, then I'm going to ask you a follow-up after this. When you're cutting a sandwich in half, which way do you cut it if you're going to take it with you? Regular sandwich, sliced bread, where do you cut it? Do you cut it diagonal, horizontal, vertical? Which way do you cut your sandwich?
Just for starters. Like just in half.
In half.
Yeah.
I'm a diagonal guy.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the diagonal end. Yeah. I think horizontal's crazy. I don't know why anyone would cut it that way.
Just cut it in half.
Okay. So I cut a diagonal, you cut it in half. There's been someone on social media who's been pitching a better way to cut a sandwich. And I'll be honest, upon seeing the cut, I think they might be right.
Okay.
Have we considered the triangle cut? So one line short, directly in the middle. And then two out in the diagonal, creating a three-piece sandwich.
Why?
All of which are triangles and seem to be distributing the crust to middle part of the bread even better than the current down the middle or horizontal way. Are you open to cutting your sandwich into new ways, what I'm asking you?
This a quick Google search says that there's already triangle sandwiches already, like, it's already been a thing. It's tramezzino or whatever. It's an Italian sandwich. Two slices of soft white bread with the crust removed.
Now, usually this is a triangle.
It's a triangle.
Well, I mean, they're triangles if you cut them at the horizontal. Yeah. I'm saying this is a three-piece. Does that make sense? Somebody's trying to convince people that cutting your sandwich in a three-directional is better than the previous
cutaway. No, I don't want
way.
Three separate pieces for a sandwich.
Right.
I don't want three separate
pieces. Why? What's your hang-up?
I don't want three separate pieces. I got, you know, you got a
What's
sandwich.
What's wrong with three pieces? Like a club sandwich might come with three pieces.
You've got a... You know, you've got a sandwich maybe at home and you just put it on a paper towel instead of a plate even. Having three pieces, that seems a little more problematic versus just having two and you're holding it in your hand, you know?
And you don't put a sandwich on a...
No, I'm saying you could put on a plate. You've never had a sandwich on a paper towel before in your life? Ever?
I just put it on a plate.
I mean, yes, but you've never... Drew, have you ever had a sandwich on a paper towel?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't even keep paper plates.
Cody's out here doing dishes for everything.
I mean, for a sandwich? Yeah, I mean, I put it on a plate.
I normally you can put on a paper towel as well real quick.
I put it on a paper plate.
Sandwiches take 2 seconds to eat. Maybe you're making a turkey sandwich or whatever.
So why cut it at all? Why not just have it in one piece?
Even fair enough. You don't need to cut it.
For me, I cut it differently for different things. So for grilled cheese, diagonal every single time. for...
Oh, that's true, actually. Yeah.
Grilled cheese is diagonal. And then for a ham sandwich, normally I...
Wait, you got different cuts for different sandwiches now?
If I have a ham sandwich,
he's right though. The grilled cheese, I wouldn't cut that in half either. I think I would go. I think I would go. Quarter to corner.
You're only cutting that.
I just realized that. I just realized. Yeah, on the grilled cheese, probably quarter to corner.
I don't cut.
I cut them all diagonal.
If I have a ham sandwich, I don't cut it at all. I just eat it.
Right.
Grilled cheese,
I cut every sandwich. Doesn't matter the sandwich; they're all cut. I'm saying maybe I should be switching to 30. There are three slices instead of two.
No.
I don't know why you'd want three pieces, man.
Hey, you know, like, it's nice to have, like, the little mini sandwich. It doesn't feel like it's less commitment in one single bite. I'm like, you set it down.
Less commitment for the bite.
Here's the thing that I like about it. I think the crust to middle part of the sandwich ratio might be better than cutting it diagonal or in half. Hmm. Where every bite comes with a little bit of the crust and a little bit of the middle, which is what you want, right? Mm-hmm. You want some of that flavor from the crust. Unless you're cutting off the crust, and if you're my age, that's kind of embarrassing.
Uncrustables, man. Let's just get the PBJ Uncrustables.
Well, don't cut that in three ways. Just cut that in the normal direction.
If you wanted more like mini sandwiches, you should cut it corner to corner, and then take that the two separate parts
and
cut those in half,
so
and then you have four.
Now we're just having too many pieces.
If you really
I'm not trying to cut this thing in eight different pieces. There is a limit.
Look, I think three sounds way more complicated than just cutting it in half once corner to corner and then cutting those in half.
I mean, is it? It's like one extra cut. It's not like uber complicated.
It makes you feel like you're eating more, though. You just said you want to feel like you have more mini sandwiches.
I think it's more to me about the crust to middle part of the sandwich ratio. You know, like you're always trying to like eat, you know, like certain foods... It's important that you get like a little bit of all of the flavor components in a single bite, right? You don't want just like the middle, you know, like
that's a poorly constructed sandwich then, man, you know?
What do you mean? Crust is only on the outside.
Not just the inner portion of the sandwich, you know?
Someone says the smaller triangles would be easier to dip if you were going to dip your sandwich.
So now I got to have three pieces and a dip. How much time?
It's just if you're eating a French dip or like a Monte Cristo or something, it has like a side.
How often are you making a Monte Cristo?
At home? Not commonly.
Yes, that's what I said.
But not zero that I don't make a fancy sandwich at home. Sometimes I make fresh baked bread, and when I do that, I'd like a fancier sandwich.
Yeah, a lot of people
not just deli.
To me, like if I'm, and you know, I usually just don't eat at home very often anyway. But if I'm making a sandwich and I went to the store and I got some deli meat and some bread or whatever. Truly, it takes 2 seconds to eat usually, so I'm just going paper towel.
That's weird.
And a lot of people on the text line said they do that as well.
I'll just talk of sandwiches. I'm very tempted to make a grilled cheese sandwich when I get back home because I haven't had a grilled cheese in a while.
I don't use...
That sounds really good.
There is not a paper plate in my house.
I don't have a paper plate either, yeah.
But, and then, like...
I only would use a paper towel for literally just a sandwich. Like, I'm not going to eat a...
Too crummy.
I'm not going to eat
Here's my issue.
What kind of bread are you using? Some dry bread, it sounds like, man. You know, you got to... What are you, toasting this? And if you toast a sandwich, you got to go plate. I'm with you there. If you're toasting it, you got to go plate. If it's just like...
Bread crumbles. Bread crumbles. I want that contained on a normal plate.
I'm
not sure any snack thing is good for... Very few things I think are good enough for like a paper towel to be held with that responsibility.
Man, it's just a basic like turkey sandwich on white bread. Like it takes 2 seconds to eat usually anyway, and there's not much crumbs.
Someone says we need to do food at Club 610 for the first time in a long time, and we can have the triangle cut sandwich and then make a decision. You know, before we knock it, should we not see if like that flux capacitor shape of a sandwich provides a better ratio across the board?
I mean, what's a good, like, alcoholic drink to have with a ham sandwich, then? I mean, is there a...
I feel like we're going to make a fancy sandwich with a ham sandwich. I kind of want, like, a toasted bread kind of sandwich of some kind.
How are we toasting it? Do you want me to bring my air fryer or something?
There's a stove in there. I'll just bring, like,
Or a toaster.
A pot.
Toaster.
A proper toaster.
Like a toaster.
Or a toaster would also
work. When I hear toasted sandwich, I just think, you know, toasted in a toaster.
You don't toast bread like that if you're making a grilled cheese. No. You just get the one side.
If I toast the bread,
that's
almost
a toasted sandwich.
Yeah, if it's grilled cheese.
If you toast the bread, though, don't you want to have like the like if you have a ham and cheese sandwich, you want to have it melted a little bit. I feel like you want to.
Yeah, that's why doing it in the skillet's more important, I think.
Yeah,
I think
we're now we're talking about like making paninis or something over here. That's a whole different
thing. We are bordering on panini at this point.
Somebody said red wine.
Some red wine.
Red wine with a turkey sandwich. Real
Anybody
classy.
Have a panini maker in this group?
No. I like paninis, though. I'm a big fan of paninis, but yeah, I don't have a panini maker. Anyway. All right. Well, hope everybody's enjoying their lunch. Hopefully. Now
God,
I'm hungry.
I really want a panini.
I'm hungry.
Sorry, guys.
Some of those malt liquor, just getting malt liquor with the sandwich.
Now we're just getting like bodega orders. Like, now we're going like full New York bodega order.
Okay. Someone says you guys are in a different tax bracket than me. I just make a sandwich.
Well, I'm with you. Where you're like the sandwich, just usually don't even need it. Depending on what it is, don't.
In the end, you're still
it.
Eating the same amount of food. Technically,
correct.
So.
Correct.
There's a ratio thing. I'm telling you, we're gonna do fancy sandwiches at a Club 610 soon.
George Foreman Grill from the text line.
Mm.
Use that as their panini.
I do have a George Foreman, technically.
Years ago, I had one, man. Years ago. There's so many better like ones to do if you're not going to go out on the grill. Like there's now like, you know, they're just better forms of that, I guess is what I would say. Like the George Foreman, you know, just don't.
And by the way, the text line's right. White bread is the worst kind of bread. What do you guys do?
Well, I like rye bread on a sandwich.
Wheat.
Like a little rye bread. Like you get a roast beef or corned beef sandwich or something. A little rye bread.
I believe sourdough to be the best bread, but I'm open to lots of different kinds. Mm-hmm. White ranks very far down, though.
Yeah. That's just the most, you know, like just most, just most common or whatever. Like,
I'm not
just,
eating Wonder Kids tonight if I'm making ridges, okay?
Yeah.
I didn't feed my kids white bread. They eat the bread
For a turkey sandwich, though, I still wouldn't mind on a white, but rye bread is probably my favorite of the bunch.
Bagel sandwich. I mean, that, look, you can get behind a ham, egg, and cheese bagel sandwich. I know I did get very specific right there. But
that's going to be much harder to make here. I'm frying eggs now? We don't want that. And I think whatever sandwich we have should have a dipping sauce. So you can open up your world a little.
I don't need a dipping sauce for my sandwich.
Open up your food world.
Other than a jus, what do I need?
Dude, there's so many different kinds of aiolis, and there's just so many options.
If the sandwich is good, I don't have to dip it in something. If it's just a good sandwich.
Are you fine if I put the aioli on it?
I don't like aioli, but sure.
What cheese
a
are
crema?
You? Hang on. What cheese are you having? Is this like
American? I don't
even
know what kind of sandwich I'm making yet. No, I'm not making a white American white bread sandwich. No, we're making a real sandwich if we're doing this thing. I'm not eating when elementary school, they serve us butter sandwiches on white bread. I'm not doing that.
No. Okay.
That's my random question of the day. I didn't expect us to get in a 10-minute long heated argument over
bread
types.
No.
That went a different direction than I was planning, but here we are. One random question about sandwiches and bread.
Don't forget, coming up throughout this entire month, we are working with the Urban Youth Academy, the Let's Play Sports Equipment Drive presented by Pinnacle Bank. They're looking for new or gently used softball and baseball equipment, but you can also bring in any sports gear as well at the Urban Youth Academy. You can start dropping off some of those items. There's also drop-off locations at participating Gates Barbecue locations. You can go to 610sports.com for some more details on the particular Gates Barbecue spots that you can drop it off, and also Cody and I will be out at the Urban Youth Academy on Tuesday, May 21st, accepting some items. More details on that to come. Plus, we'll be live from Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday, May 22nd, out in front of likely Gate D, I would imagine, accepting items as well. Just go to 610sports.com. More details, and you can make some monetary donations, as we're excited once again to have the Let's Play Sports Equipment Drive presented by Pinnacle Bank. Up next, though, we get back to some Chiefs football and what some executives are suggesting the Chiefs should do more and why their top pick could help them do it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.